no matter what, you are with us. No matter what, you support us. No matter what, you strengthen us and help us. What a blessing that is. And Father, help us to constantly remember that. Help us to carry that thought to the end of our days, because that is the strength we need. We have you. And right now, Father, as we turn to your word and we look at what you would have us hear, inhabit the words of your servant. Make sense of them where your servant fails. And we just thank you so much that you do walk among us. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. You notice that we only sung three songs this morning. That's because of the long-winded pastor is here. They have to give me extra time, right? Yeah. Anyway, I'm really, over the last several weeks, we've been looking at some of the major characteristics of a dedicated disciple of Jesus, as described by the National Discipleship Team of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And what they've done is they've tried to find these six characteristics, and they've said, here are the six major characteristics that a disciple should have in their lives. And as we look at that, it reminds me that, again, we must be saying to ourselves, so who are these disciples? We are. Every last one of us is one of those disciples. And that's something that we have to, so what I guess I'm saying is we have to take some of these things to heart. The question is rather whether we are truly devoted followers of Christ. In other words, we have put the things of Christ at the front of our lives, and that we desire to be not just disciples, but to be the best disciples that we can. So today I have the privilege of considering the sixth and last of the major characteristics of a disciple that they have identified, and that's being journey conscious, being journey conscious. And so you may say, well, what does it mean to be journey conscious? A journey conscious follower is a person who knows that full discipleship is a continual growth process and recognizes we are all somewhere along a path towards maturity. And I emphasize that last part. We are all somewhere along a path towards maturity. If we aren't, we are in deep trouble. There are two things that we can pull out of that last phrase. First is that we're not all in the same place on the path. We're all in different places. And that's all right. Because God knows, doesn't he? He knows where we are. And he has planned the next steps for us. Second thing we can pull out of this is that none of us is a fully mature disciple. Okay? That won't happen this side of heaven. If we think we are fully mature, if we've actually convinced ourselves that we're fully mature, I think we're probably looking at the beginning of the journey and mistaking it for the end. Because it's just not going to happen. There are always things more to learn, things more to develop, things more to change our hearts that are on the journey ahead of us. You know, as I read this statement from the National Discipleship Team and Larry suggested that I would speak on this topic, I couldn't help but think that our journey is really not unlike a pilgrimage of sorts, a pilgrimage. And most of you, I think, have been around me now long enough to know that I like word pictures and images. I like to play with those kinds of things. So please allow me to explore this concept of journey consciousness in terms of a pilgrimage allegory. And I know that some of you are going to say, wait a minute, you're not new to this game. John Bunyan did that 330 years ago. He wrote a thing called Pilgrim's Progress. How many of you have read that, Pilgrim's Progress? Oh, we have a few. Good, yeah. By the way, there's a new movie coming out of it that's supposed to be very good, too. I'm not here to pump movies, but just so that you know that there is one coming. So 330 years ago, he did this. Now, I'm not going to go exactly as Bunyan did, but you may notice a few words here and there that creep in that have some similarities. I'm going a slightly different way. Okay, so what is a pilgrimage? Loosely defined, a pilgrimage is a journey in search of moral or spiritual significance. Okay, a journey in search of moral or spiritual significance. And that's really the journey we are on as disciples. We are looking for moral and spiritual significance in our lives and the things we do. Now, I warn you right off the top that a pilgrimage will not gain you some special favor with God. I know that in some areas where they talk about pilgrimages and some faith, you know, sorts of thinking, they figure that if you go on one, there's going to be some kind of special blessing for it. No, that's not the case. We are already blessed. We have Jesus. In fact, we could say Jesus is? He's here right now with us. We're already blessed. Okay? It's not a form of penance that earns us forgiveness. That only comes through the grace of God. And we should already have that if we're Christians. The journey does, however, help us to appreciate how we can better focus on what God wants us to become. What He wants us to become, and even how we can better glorify God in our lives. That the one understanding that we have to have as we set out on this pilgrimage is that no matter where we travel on this journey or what happens, there's one thing that it is that we must continue in our minds if we're going to get anywhere, if we're going to grow, if we're going to have spiritual development. You gotta keep on walking. You gotta keep on walking. That's what we have to do if on this pilgrimage. You got that? You can say it with me? You gotta keep on walking. I was going to say you gotta keep on a-walking, but I thought, no, that's pushing it too far. So where do we start on this pilgrimage? Let's talk about pilgrimages. Okay. We begin by understanding the journey. We have to understand the journey. You know, probably the best known pilgrimage in Christendom is known as the El Camino Trail. I don't know if you've heard it. If you have, great. It starts in southern France and it goes through northern Spain for 780 kilometers, or if you're old like me, about 500 miles, to its completion at a city called Santiago de Compostela, okay, on the west coast of Spain. It takes about a month of daily walking, about a month of it. It's a long, hard walk. Pilgrims have walked this footpath, because basically that's what it is. It's a footpath, okay, over mountains and through valleys and, you know, and the like, for over 1,200 years it's been done. Interestingly, even though it has had for much of that time a special significance for those in Catholicism, it has become more and more interesting to Protestants in recent years. And the number of people that are walking it has grown quite tremendously in recent years. And yes, even evangelical believers have come chosen to walk it in recent years. Why? For the retreat aspect, not necessarily for the other things that go with pilgrimages a lot of times, but for the retreat aspect, just for what we're talking about, the moment to focus on God and what we're doing. It takes us away from the world and it brings us down to this, okay? And as you walk through the miles. So how does that fit to our discipleship pilgrimage then? Well, we have to look at it. We have to say, okay, where does our discipleship pilgrimage begin? It began when we decided to follow Jesus. That's where it began. When we made that choice, we stepped out on the pilgrimage, on the walk. I can't help but think of Matthew 16:24, where Jesus, talking to his disciples, said, "Then whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." And follow me. Jesus calls us to the pilgrimage of discipleship. He's the one that said, here it is, you need to walk it. But why should we set off on this pilgrimage when Jesus promised that it will be hard? Because he did. He said it will be hard. Take up your cross. There's going to be pain and suffering on the road. Just like we sung about a few minutes ago. There'll be pain and suffering on the road sometimes. Well, I think we can go back into Proverbs and we can pick up some little pieces of things that we can look at and say, okay, I get an understanding of it here. In Proverbs, Solomon says, in the way of righteousness there is life. Along that path is immortality. That's what our discipleship leads should leads us to, is to that immortality. It asks us to focus on beyond just what we are on earth and to something bigger, something wider. Proverbs 15, verse 24. The path of life leads upward from the for the prudent to keep them from going down to the realm of the dead. This image of a path and a walk is found in many places in the Bible. And it always sort of the same thing. There's the path before us. There's the path before us. And the one thing you got to know is you got to keep on walking. You got to keep on walking. The choice we're faced with is go the way of the world and accept its unavoidable end, or follow Jesus through good and bad, through joy and hardship, but in doing so, to attain the salvation of our souls. You got to keep on walking. Some might ask, well, can't we just stand at the beginning of the pilgrimage and not actually head off on the journey? I can't help but think of the parable of the seeds. If for everybody, I think, is familiar with it, and Jesus talks about the seeds going down on the soil. He says some seed fell on rocky ground, and even though it sprouted, it had no root and withered away. I suspect that may be the fate of those who won't actually begin the journey. That's what will happen. Is it possible that if we aren't growing in our faith, we may actually be dying? That's one of the things that isn't true in nature. It's, very often you're either growing or it's dying, one of the two. The one thing I know is the only sure way to know is you got to keep on walking. You got to keep on walking. Because the trail is just a trail, and it's easy to veer off of, the pilgrim needs a map or a guide to help him keep headed in the right direction. Without that, they will soon lose their way and become lost in the vast wilderness on each side of the trail. Or they'll be paralyzed with indecision, not knowing which way to go. What of our pilgrimage? What about our pilgrimage? Fortunately, we have both a map and a guide. Here is truth. Here is truth. The question is whether we will study the map. Okay, now we're getting back to the discipleship stuff, aren't we? The question is, will we study the map? Because the map is our guide to the whole thing. Without that, we will lose our way and become lost. Okay? We must learn to study it and to apply what it tells us to the countryside through which we walk. We cannot just go to the map, incidentally, whenever we are already lost and expect to easily find our way back to the path. We can't do that. We've got to have the map in hand the whole time. If we wait till we're lost to look at it, we don't know where to begin. Nowhere in here says you are here, right? Like you go in the mall and the map say, give you the map of the mall, and it says you are here, right? That doesn't work if you're already lost. Fine, you are here. Right, I'm lost. Great. That, what good does that do me? Right? It has to be constantly at hand. Then we know we can keep on safely walking. We also have a guide. We also have a guide. His name is Jesus. His name is the Holy Spirit. We walk knowing Jesus is here. Jesus is here. There's another thing with the El Camino pilgrimage. Along the way, there are a number of what they call stations. Stations that pilgrims stop at to get their credentials stamped by the official. They have a desk and a table, and as the people walk up with their backpack and everything on the way, they stop and they put their credential out, and the official stamps it to indicate that they have walked that portion of the pilgrimage, okay? if you don't have the stamps at the end, you cannot prove that you actually participated in the pilgrimage. So this is one of the ways they make sure that people actually do. I should tell you that the woman I love several years back said to me, you know, I'd like to walk some of that El Camino Trail. I've heard about it. I'd like to walk some of that. I think it would be just for the interest of doing it, just to see what you'll go through. And I said to her, sure, that sounds like a good idea. I'll drop you off. I'll take the train. having noticed that the temperature in the room got a lot colder really quickly, I was reminded once again that I should think before I speak. This is, you know, that I get myself in trouble sometimes that way. It's one of the things I work on. But, you know, in a sense, we have stations along the way in our journey, too, our pilgrimage. There's no train to whisk us to some station way down the road and, you know, we just go back and get them all backstamped or something. You know, we can't do that. We have stages of the journey to be accomplished. These are stages of spiritual growth and formation. You get that? Spiritual growth and formation. For example, in the early days, I'll just use some examples for you out of this, of what I'm talking about. For example, in the early days of our pilgrimage, as we walk our pilgrimage, we may suddenly turn a corner and find that we have reached the station that records that we have a regular prayer time. We have a regular prayer time. The significance of that is stamped into our hearts and into our minds by the Holy Spirit. And one day we say, oh, yes, I do. I have a regular prayer time. That's wonderful. And when we receive that stamp, we have reason to feel good that we have completed a stage. I have grown. Yes, I grew enough to throw the mic off. Have we got it now? Okay, good. Okay. Actually, it's probably the cord that did that. We have reason to feel good that we've completed a stage, but it's just a stage. It's just one stage. We have a whole bunch more stages to go, okay? So we troop on, we put our backpack on, and we continue on down the path. We can't stop there. We've got to keep going. We've got to keep walking. Yeah, exactly. The next stage may call us to moving from regular prayer to what we call practicing the presence, okay? In other words, we want to reach the station where prayer is not a scheduled time with a list, but has become a continual, honest, open conversation with our ever-present God. Do you get what I'm saying? It's no longer, oh, it's prayer time. No, no. Every minute of our lives is prayer time. That's what's called practicing the presence, if you've heard the term. And how do we get to that station to get the stamp? You got to keep on walking. You got to keep on walking. You know, and we continue. I think you see what I'm saying to you. And you continue down that kind of a path, that pilgrimage, and maybe the next station you come to is the one where you've learned to forgive people, and suddenly one day you say, you know what? I do forgive people. Forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is something we do. Sometimes we have to do it every morning. We have to get up and say, I choose to forgive. And eventually it becomes part of our character, part of who we are, that we simply forgive people. It becomes part of our heart. And that day, it's stamped, right? It's stamped. Now you've got something to work from. You say, well, okay, that's complete. No, not yet, not yet. Because you've got to go to the next station. And the next station, you discover one day that you can also ask forgiveness of everybody, too. Sometimes it's actually harder to ask forgiveness than it is to give forgiveness, isn't it? It's another stage. And once again, one day that you suddenly realize, I can do this. I don't have a problem asking forgiveness anymore. That I can go to people that I have hurt and say, forgive me. My pride doesn't get in the way of it. And that's another stamp in your book. In your book. You got to keep on walking. There are enough stages to work through a lifetime, friends. There are enough stages to last us that we will never be short of another stage to move to. That's both scary and wonderful, isn't it? You know, it's both scary and wonderful. Some of the stages are going to be difficult and will involve suffering. And we'll be exhausted by the time we reach the next station. Some will be easy, and we will move through them with dancing, with joy. But each stage moves us closer to where God wants us. You know, I keep thinking of Romans 12, verse 2. It says, Paul tells us, do not conform any longer to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by a renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, perfect, and pleasing will. Do not conform to the patterns of the world, but be transformed. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about spiritual transformation. That's what a disciple looks for. That's what a disciple wants. That's what a disciple is aiming for, is spiritual transformation. At least it's what he should be looking for, is spiritual transformation. As we move through the stations, we are transformed more and more into what God desires of us. You know, no matter whether the road is hard or easy, whether we travel through blazing heat or freezing cold, whether we are weary or refreshed and joyful, whether in front of us the mountains are high and steep or the valleys are dark and deep, you got to keep walking. There's no going back and there's no standing still. Some will receive stamps, many stamps, on the pilgrimage before it ends. Their book will be overflowing with stamps. For others, the pilgrimage may mean that they struggle to find even a few stamps. And even others, their pilgrimage may end before they receive more than a few. But that's not our choice. And in some ways, truly, it's not our concern. Our concern is our passport and how many stamps are in it. Yes, we pray for the others. Yes, we help the others. We'll talk about that a little bit. But ultimately, we have to keep our eyes on our stamps. Some will receive stamps that we didn't receive because of their talents and the gifts that God has provided them. They may have traveled to faraway lands to bring the gospel to many others. That's part of discipleship for some. Is it for you and I? Maybe, maybe not. God's choice. They have, you know, maybe some of them can explain the map better than I can, right? And that's okay too. That's their stamp, not mine. Others may have performed miracles. That's their stamp, not mine. Praise God for their stamps. Praise God for their stamps. The pilgrimage may take many different paths. We must not be envious of those who have more or different stamps than we do. Our choice is only to follow the path before us. To see the path and say to ourselves, you got to keep on walking. You got to keep on walking. One of the things that's really wonderful about these pilgrimages is that you often travel with fellow travelers, sojourners, people that you walk with. And that's particularly true of the El Camino, because they do come in groups usually. And that's an opportunity for people to enjoy their fellow pilgrims along the way, and to share the journey with them. Though they may only share the road for a time, they still helped to build a sense of companionship and common purpose. I mean, you know, some will move faster, some slower. You know, that's just the way it is. But while you're with somebody, you spend time with them. You talk to them. Their words and presence are an encouragement to help overcome tired feet, okay, and sore muscles. And unless You know, unless you are a great walker, you're going to have those on that trail. And when the day's walking is done, there are pilgrim hostels and camps where they join together to share a meal and to share their stories with one another. Doesn't that sound cool? I go back to my earlier story. Not having been satisfied with making the comment about taking the train to the next, you know, down the road, I had made the suggestion that I would be, you know, when she was looking for me, she'd find me in a nice, oh, I don't know, maybe a 3-star hotel with a swimming pool and a, you know, and a restaurant and the like. And the temperature got even cooler. You know, I really have to watch my mouth. Anyway, on our spiritual journey, we have fellow travelers, and we have to spend time with them. And who are they right now? Look around you. Look around you. Here are our fellow pilgrims, folks. Here they are. Those who want to walk through this stage of the journey with us are here. Or normally here. You know, sometimes we help others to find the way forward. Sometimes others help us to find the way. When the going is tough, we encourage one another. You got to keep on walking, we say to one another. You got to keep on walking. By the way, that's what mentorship is all about. That's what, you know, we've talked about mentorship, isn't, you know, and the fact that we should be prepared to mentor others. That's what it's all about. It's about taking the time to spend time with our fellow travelers, to be part of their lives. And we do that because we want to encourage them. You got to keep on walking, we say to them. You know, sometimes we might have to physically almost carry them, one another, on our journey because of the difficulties of life. You know, many years ago, well, not that long ago, but a while ago, for some of you, it might seem a long time ago. In my case, it was when I was younger, okay? There was a song called "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother." I know, some of you are going to joke. Oh yeah, that became a joke. "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother." But you know, it's interesting to look at the words of it. Here are the words. "With many a winding turn that leads us to who knows where, who knows where. But I'm strong, strong enough to carry him. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. So on we go, his welfare is of my concern. No burden is he to bear, we'll get there. For I know he would not encumber me. He ain't heavy, he's my brother." And then the last portion is the one that I think really fits us. "It's a long, long road from which there is no return. While we're on the way to there, why not share? And the load doesn't weigh me down at all. He ain't heavy, he's my brother." Or in a politically correct time, "He's my sibling," okay? But, you know, I think to myself, how there's a real truth in that. And that's the way we should approach the people around us. Look around you. They aren't heavy. They're our brothers and sisters. A disciple helps those walking with them. We call to those behind us in the journey, still to come. We say, you got to keep on walking. Keep on walking. We rely on those ahead of us to remind us, you got to keep on walking. That is part of the spiritual pilgrimage of discipleship we are on. We both help others to complete their pilgrimage, and we allow others to help us. Because you got to keep on walking. You got to keep on walking. Our fellow travelers will not always be the same. They will not always keep the same pace as us. They may have different paths that God calls them to. For some, their journey will end sooner than others. But while we do walk with them, we need to love them. And when they are gone, there will be others for us to travel with. Here's the most encouraging part of all of this, of having the fellow travelers with us. We have a fellow traveler with us the whole way. He's called the Holy Spirit. He walks with us. He reminds us of what we need to do to continue. Sometimes he carries us when we can no longer move on our own. And all the time he reminds us, you got to keep on walking. You got to keep on walking. And you know, ultimately with any pilgrimage, there comes a point where you have to recognize that there's a goal. With the El Camino Trail, it ends in the city of Santiago de Compostela. There, the pilgrims present their stamped credentials to the pilgrimage office officials, and if they have traveled enough of the trail, they receive the Compostela stamp that says, "You have completed the pilgrimage. Congratulations." I'm pretty sure that the certainty that there is an end to the trail is what keeps some of the pilgrims going. Otherwise, there's no completion. If there's no completion, only more miles of difficult road ahead. Why would you continue, right? There's got to be an end to it. And there is. And there is. And there is one for us, too. It's true of our pilgrimage. We know there is a goal to be reached. The promise of what is ahead brings joy and hope to us. We know that one day we will reach the city of God, and there will be a great celebration with multitudes of disciples that have gone on before us. Can you see it now, my brothers and my sisters? You should be able to. It's there. Revelation 21 says, "Look, God's dwelling is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." And I love this next verse. "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." But to reach that day, you got to keep on walking. As we walk out the time of our journey towards that goal, one day some of us will suddenly realize, that we've somehow gotten a lot closer to the goal than we had realized. It's almost as though we can sense the celestial city over the next hill, or maybe the one after that. For some of us, the last miles can be even harder than the earlier ones. We may be tired. We may feel old. We may be sick. Yet at the same time, we want to finish well. That those who follow on the trail will see an example of how to live out the journey. Or maybe even to encourage others to join in the disciples' journey. I have examples of this that I would love to tell you, but time just doesn't allow me to do so, that of stories of people who finished well, and in finishing well through the difficulties of that time, encouraged others to become Christians even. And as we struggle through those last stages of the journey, we may especially need others to encourage us. You know, I think that's one of the reasons why we do some of the work with the seniors' homes that we do, is that we go out there partly to help some of those people finish well. That's what it's all about. One day we will enter the gates of the celestial city. One day we will present our credential. And our credential is the blood of Jesus. That's our credential. That day we will be able to say, "I followed Jesus." Maybe God will say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." In my case, it may be, "Oh, you did okay." But, you know. That day we will be the fully matured disciples, made over in the image of the one we love, but not until then. Not until then. Till then we have to keep on walking. I can't help but think of the words of Paul in Philippians 3 when he said this, "I want to know Christ, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining to what was ahead, I press onward toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me homeward in Christ Jesus." You got to keep walking. That's what Paul's saying. You got to keep walking. You know, there's a song, as I've been preparing this, there's a song that came to mind that just kept singing through my head. And I'm going to ask you to join me with it, if you know the song. Some of you will recognize it, you please sing with me. Please sing with me if you can. Okay, I'm singing in A flat and a half. But okay. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Let's go to verse 3, okay? When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Yes, one day the journey will be over. Until then, we must strive to be better and better disciples. Until then, we are still on the journey. And one thing we know for sure is that until that day comes, you gotta keep walking. You gotta keep walking. Why don't you stand, please, and join? The worship team is gonna come up right now, and they're gonna lead us in one last song. And
of God, and all the world will see you are God. You are God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
God's benediction upon your hearts today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Amen. Please be seated. So today is a special day. As we know, we've been celebrating Lent over the past 19 days, and we're on that 40-day journey towards Palm Sunday, not too far ahead of us now. We're almost at that halfway point. So continue to remember to pray for our government leaders, as today is a day that marks Lent in way of praying for those that are in leadership and authority over us. Not just our government leaders, but maybe our parents, teachers, our bosses, those that we're employed with. Do remember these ones that give us the freedoms in our country and try to order our days. So also today, we want to celebrate with one particular family, and I see them up in the corner there of our balcony, the Aggies. The Aggies have been in Canada for over a year now, this is for you guys. Welcome to Canada. And we celebrate with you your year time in Canada. And we do have a cake that we have after the service. So don't go away after the service. Come into the Connections Room. And we want to celebrate your year anniversary on the 15th of March. But Christine is going away next weekend off to Lebanon. So we want to pray for her New Heights ministry and her time away from us for those 3 weeks, is it? 3 weeks. So let's continue to remember them as they continue their journey here in Canada. Also, in your bulletins, just a reminder that we are trying to encourage people to read. And The Master Plan of Evangelism is a great book. It's a thin book. One book that talks about the importance of discipleship, and we heard that from Pastor Jim today. We need to continue to follow Jesus, and part of following Jesus is sharing that journey with others. And that journey is such an important journey for all of us. So pick this book up, $8, and Eileen, where are you? Right here. Eileen's going to be in our Connections Room and talking to people about this book. And there's also a couple other books that you can sign out from our library as well. This morning, I also want to give some press to our men's group, which is happening on Saturday next week. It's going to be a great opportunity because our mayor, who's our mayor in Coquitlam? Do you guys know who the mayor is? Stewart, yeah, Richard Stewart. Richard Stewart's agreed to come here and talk to us about all the construction that's going to be happening here in Coquitlam and the ongoing phasing up of just more and more people coming here to Coquitlam. And so if more people are coming to Coquitlam, we need them to know Jesus more and more, don't we? So great challenges before us, but Mayor Stewart's going to be here on Saturday, so we'd like you to sign up. We don't want everybody to bring pancakes to the meal, so we want to mix our meal up. It's a potluck breakfast, 8:30 in the morning. So guys, we're inviting our Cantonese and our Mandarin guys as well. No age limit, I don't think, Rick, no. So as young as you are or as old as you are, you're all welcome to come. But sorry, ladies, it's a guys' meeting, okay? But we will inform you of what transpired in that meeting and hear about what's happening in Coquitlam. So God bless you as you go into your week. Thank you for joining us today. And continue to reflect on this season of Lent as we approach Palm Sunday and then Good Friday and then, of course, Easter Sunday with Jesus' resurrection. May God bless you as you go into your week.
To shore, safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore. I won't fear what tomorrow.